pull-up jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into a Tuesday edition of the show today. Tuesdays with Amari starting off. It's been a couple weeks now, but we're getting really started as the regular season is rolling along for this Grizzlies team. Starting up this week, NBA season starts tonight. As you're listening to this Tuesday, record this Monday night. But as you were listening to this, the NBA starts tonight, and it's a beautiful thing, Maury.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it seems like this offseason went by short and long, you know, just given all the changes that were made. And tomorrow will be the first time, you know, we really, truly get to see what this team looks like. Obviously, you know, I think we would both agree that preseason was a bit rough, but, you know, but yet, you know, this should be an exciting team. You know, the opener's been long awaited. Tomorrow should be, tomorrow as in Wednesday, even though we're recording this Monday, should be a really exciting day for Grizzlies fans for sure.
Yeah, tomorrow as in Wednesday, the NBA kicks off Tuesday. The Grizzlies play Wednesday night as they take on the Heat. They start the game on the road, or start the season on the road, over in Eastern time zone. So we have an early game right off the bat. You were at practice today, as we just talked about a little bit right before we started recording. You were at practice today at the with the Grizzlies. Anything that you took out of that, I guess, besides is Jonas, assume, is going to play? I think I saw you tweet that earlier today. You had that. Is Jonas indeed going to play? Anything else you got from practice?
Yeah, Jonas said he should be good to go. That was the timeline he was on pretty much since the beginning, that he was kind of in preseason, and then they would activate him in time for the season to start. Sounds like, you know, for the most part, it's fine. It's just general soreness. Obviously, he had a busy summer overseas playing in FIBA, but it doesn't sound like anything that's just beyond the usual wear and tear you get from playing basketball. It sounds like he may be on something of a minute restriction. I guess we'll see to what extent that looks like. You know, and to me, it's probably because not only, you know, his foot sore, but also he hasn't had any game action in a while, and they believe the issue that started his sore foot was just a bit of overload. So it makes sense that they're going to want to ease him back into the flow.
And anything else that was at practice that you thought was worth mentioning?
Not a whole lot. I would say that they're just excited to get started for the most part.
General fluff stuff. Let's get ready to get the season started.
Yeah, just ready to get the season started. You know, Jaren said he wasn't quite happy with how he played during preseason, and he's ready to, you know, improve his play. We talked to Brendan Clark, and, you know, of course, Brendan Clark had a pretty good preseason, and sounds like he's ready to get going. No other real, you know, changes or updates. You know, it just sounds like all systems are go at this point.
The Grizzlies also, I guess it was contract extension deadlines today, as well as options. The Grizzlies elected to pick up the option for Grayson Allen. Obviously, elected to pick up the option for Jaren Jackson Jr. They just did not pick up the option for Josh Jackson. Did that surprise you? I don't know if it's a real surprise there for me, but what about you?
It's not a surprise for me, and they still have until October 31st, I believe, to pick that Josh Jackson contract up. But it appears that they will not be I think that was to be expected. With them putting him through the G League, making him practice and play up the hustle, at least to start the season. It's pretty clear that they are making him kind of earn his way onto the team, in this sort of arbitrary way. And it just wouldn't make sense to me. It would be counterintuitive to pick up his option for next season, while putting him through this sort of G League trial. Like, if they're really going to commit to, I guess, kind of making him earn his spot, then you would not pick up his option. And then, he would presumably hit free agency next summer. And, of course, they could still, sign him to a team-friendly deal, if they wanted to.
Right.
But this all makes sense to me. I think it was pretty clear that his option was never going to be picked up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's not a real surprise there. Grayson Allen, I always thought this was a smart move to pick up Grayson Allen's contract. It's not a whole lot of money. And I mean, I think Josh Jackson's is like thinking his is like $7.5 million. But Grayson's is like $2 million. I mean, there's not a whole lot there that you can't get off of if you really don't like what he is. But if he somehow, some way, is what we thought we saw in the first couple of games of preseason, maybe he is that sixth man of the year and he really develops, and you got to lock him in at an additional year for a cheap price.
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely committed to developing Grayson Allen, seeing what they have in him. For me, the late first round pick, obviously bust out a lot of money on the books, and it just makes sense for them to go ahead and pick that up. Like you said, I guess worst comes to worst, that's not, a lot of money to sacrifice if you were to part ways with him. But I think that's to be expected. It seems like Grayson is a part of this rebuild, and they like what they've seen from him through preseason. And, he's had some good games, I think it certainly makes sense that they will want him back next season.
And then obviously Jaren Jackson Jr., that is absolutely a no-brainer. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back talking with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. We'll be back talking starting lineup coming up next. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Just enter promo code LOCKEDON at checkout for $30 off your purchase of $399 or more. Welcome back to the show, talking with Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. If you haven't already subscribed over there, make sure you go and do so. Him and Peter Adamson putting out some great stuff all year for you guys, so go subscribe. It's not even enough to really think about there when it comes out of your bank account. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this starting lineup. Obviously, it changed last week. Do you think it was always a plan for Taylor Jenkins to change up the starting lineup, put Grayson Allen in, or do you think that was a reactionary to what he did in the first couple games?
I think it was a mix of both. I think he's always, he was always pretty clear that he wanted to, give guys opportunities to prove themselves, give himself an opportunity to see how different lineups work together. And of course, to do that, you kind of have to mix things up. I also think that on the other end of that, he's been clear that Jaren, Ja, and Valanciunas, will be starters this season. So really the only spots that were up for debate were the shooting guard and small forward positions. And Dylan Brooks struggling, I think definitely played a big role in Grayson getting the start last week. I think a big part of it is just that Dylan, we've discussed this on the show, is the most established, between himself, Grayson, and Marco. But he also not played any organized basketball since January. And, right. And he was kind of pressing those first couple of games. He didn't look comfortable. It looked like he was trying to prove himself. He wasn't playing within the offense. I guess that's pretty self-explanatory. That said, I do think Dylan's going to hold down that starting shooting guard position for most of the season. Like, I just think he's probably, not the best wing on his team. Definitely one of the best two wings at this point. That's not necessarily to say that he is the future at the position. But he had that 30-point game, and you know, he plays good defense, but he plays within himself. He just, you know, he looks good. He hits open shots. That's more than what we can say for a lot of the team right now. So I think he does have that secured.
Is that going to be – are we going to talk about that a lot this season? Is Dylan Brooks playing within him in the offense or just doing whatever he wants to do? I feel like that's going to be something we talk about a lot.
Possibly. I think on one hand, like, Ja Morant will make it so easy for him to, you know, just find himself open on the perimeter that on at some level you would think that he would learn that he doesn't need to press, because if he saves within himself, you know, finds himself open on the perimeter, Ja Morant would just feed him open threes all game. And that's probably what you want more than anything as a shooter, obviously. So we'll certainly see how he handles it. But I do think he will be comfortable playing within himself once he adapts to, you know, Morant and his driving kick, which obviously is a little bit different than how the Grizzlies have played in the past.
Do you – anything else from the preseason? Obviously, you mentioned in the – when we first started the show, it's been up and down. I mean, it was – obviously, they stepped up the competition to actual NBA teams, and it changed the game a lot. Anything that else you took away from the preseason that will translate, or we can expect to see translate to the regular season? Besides Ja Morant's passing, because I think that we all know that will translate.
Absolutely. Honestly, I think this offense is going to be ugly for a while. You know, I know it's preseason, and you know, that's the time you figure stuff out. And, you know, ideally, I guess it will improve that on some level once the season starts. But, you know, but I think this is going to be an ugly offense outside of Ja a lot of nights. You know, it's a very, very new scheme for a lot of the guys.
Right.
You know, Jenkins is, you know, still implementing, you know, the plays and everything. Like, even today, you know, he mentioned guys are still learning all the calls and everything. I just don't see everything clicking for this team anytime soon. Like, I think a lot of nights, you know, I think fans who kind of have high expectations, which, you know, like, I don't know if the playoffs forever, this could go anyway. But, you know, it may get frustrating, you know, seeing this team kind of go through its growing pains. And that's just what happens with young teams. You know, it takes time for them to learn how to play NBA basketball and learn how to win. But, you know, I don't think that preseason is that unfair representation of what we're going to see this year. Like, the team is really going to have to go through some great things first.
Learning how to win is a real thing in the NBA. Like, I tell people that all the time and people kind of shrug it off, but like, learning how to close out games and is a real thing for young players. Like, I think that this goes, you mentioned that, but I think that goes, I think people skip over that sometimes, like gloss over it. Like, these guys are just supposed to be playing a basketball game, but that's really not the case in the NBA. It's so different. It's not like any level they have ever played. And so learning how to win is something that you really have to try and figure out. And that's where, you know, having veterans on the team helps, but, you know, learning that skill and close out games and put teams away is something that will be something they have to learn for several seasons. You look at the Kings, they had it for a long time, had a lot of good young players, but just can never get W's. And even like the Suns, it's other, you know, young teams that just struggle to get W's. That's why they stay in the lottery for several years.
Yeah, no, it absolutely takes time to learn. As you said, these guys, you know, the first time that they've ever played at this high of a level, you know, especially for, you know, a team, you know, I think David Cobb tweeted earlier, once the NBA released all the official rosters, that the Grizzlies are the only team in the NBA without a active player, you know, obviously excluding Andre Iguodala, born in the 80s. You know, other guys have been born in the 90s or the 2000s, which, oof, you know, I'm not even that old, and that makes me feel old, you know.
I'm that old, that makes me feel that old, Amari. Oof, man.
You know, So they're a young team. Long story short, they are a young team. Like, I read about Solomon Hill today, who was 28, and he is the second oldest active player behind Jay Crowder, who was 29. I mean, these guys, like, would be, like, middle of the pack, if not toward the bottom, like, on last year's Grizzlies team, which had several guys over the age of 30. You know, and then Mark, obviously, who I believe was 34, going on 35. It's just different, you know? It's just different. You know, these
it's
guys
amazing
are
what a year does.
Yeah, I mean, like, Jaren, like, they're still clearly physically still adjusting to, you know, the NBA physicality.
Yeah.
You know, like just from top to bottom, all these guys are, you know, are just not capable of doing it yet. I mean, you know, Grayson's in the second year, Jaren's in the second year, John's a rookie, Clark's a rookie, Marco, you know, he's a little bit older, but he's a rookie too. You know, Tyus is a veteran and he's only in year four. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a young team. You know, there's things that they have to learn how to do. You know, and I think they'll look a lot better in March than they will, you know, this first season, but it's going to take a long time for them to get to that point.
Let's take one more quick break. We'll finish up with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic when we get back. Talking with Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. Again, if you've not already subscribed over there, make sure you go and do that. Amari is going to be joining us every single Tuesday throughout the season. Unless we have a game Monday night and you and I are both at it, then we probably won't have a show until probably Tuesday at noon. But barring that, Amari will be talking Grizzlies basketball with us every single week. You mentioned Jaren's physicality right before we took a break. And I talked about this on my Monday show, is that I'm not sure – Jaren's even close to being ready to be a center in this NBA. And I'm not even sure if that is his long-term position. I'm not yet convinced. I know some people probably think that's where he should be, but I'm not convinced that is his long-term position. How much farther does he have to go to be a center? Do you think that's where he should be long-term, or where do you land on that?
You know, I still think that Jaren can eventually become a really good NBA center. You know, I think just offensively, his ability to space the floor and his ability to post up. We saw him on most of some guys last year. You know, I think will really lend itself well to the center position. You know, not that that'll be his permanent home. You know, I think he'll be able to play both front court positions to a degree. You know, but I'm still on the Jaren Jackson as a center train. Like obviously a lot of people see him as more of a four. That said, I have to pump the brakes a little bit because, you know, it's still clear that there's an element of physicality to the center position that Jaren just can't handle yet. You know, he's still filling out his frame, you know, and we just see, you know, like centers, you know, move him out the way and get rebounds. He just hasn't looked comfortable at all. Playing center, you know, with Jonas Valanciunas on the bench. You know, I do think when JV comes back on Wednesday, it'll help Jaren out a lot. But he just isn't there yet. You know, he's not quite there yet. You know, it'll probably be a few years before he gets there. And, you know, and there's also something too, guys like Anthony Davis, you know, preferring to play power forward over center. You know, it's easier to do what they do at power forward than it is at center. You know, and Jaren may be one of those guys. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I still think he'll play center in spots as Anthony Davis currently does. But, yeah, maybe I have to punch the brakes a little bit on that. You know, I think he still has some, you know, some things he has to do to be able to play center effectively.
Yeah, they obviously they waived Miles Plumlee because he's bad at basketball. They waived Ivan Rabb. What are the Grizzlies? You're around the team a lot more than I am. What are the Grizzlies, or what do you think Taylor Jenkins' plan is for backup bigs? I mean, obviously they had Bruno out there playing the five at some points in the regular or in the preseason. And I don't think that's a viable option, I know it doesn't matter, they're not gonna be good, but I don't think it's a viable option even this season. And you had Brandon Clark, and there's not a whole lot else. I guess Kyle Anderson could play the four, but what do you think that backup big rotation looks like for the Grizzlies? I don't know if you've got any more information that talking with Taylor and having a sense of what he might do.
Well, we know he likes to play small. You know, I think it is, you know, like it's tough to predict fully, you know, given how Valanciunas hasn't played, how that will look. You know, I think to some level, like, you know, I think JV and Jaren will play the vast majority of their minutes at, well, I won't say they'll play the vast majority of their minutes at center. JV will be a center full-time, you know, and I think that the remaining minutes at center, I think Jaren will get a lot of them. But, you know, he also, Jenkins also liked Bruno Caboclo at center during preseason, and I thought, you know, the final game against the Spurs, you know, Caboclo had a strong performance of preseason, you know, so he could work his way into getting some minutes there. And obviously that would mean Jaren sees more time at the four. You know, I think Jaren is foul trouble will decide a lot of that as well. You know, so on some level, I think that center rotation will mostly just consist of Valanciunas and Jaren.
you know, with Kaboko getting whatever leftover minutes are there. You know, then of course with the four, you have, you know, Brandon Clark, you have, you know, I guess Kyle Anderson's more of a three, you know, Jay Crowder is more of a three. But you have like two guys essentially, and Brandon Clark and Jaren, who would take most of the minutes at the four. And then you have Jaren and Jonas at the five. So
it's a degree, like,
I guess. What's that?
It's a short rotation. That would be my only, I guess, concern. Is just there's not a whole lot of real depth there.
It's a short rotation, absolutely. You know, you wonder if it's almost too short, right? Yeah. You exactly. know, you yeah. basically just have four guys who are manning minutes at that spot. You know, and that seems to be what the team is comfortable with, given that they parted ways with Ivan Rabb and Miles Plumlee, who. You know, obviously, you know, that's a power forward and center right there that would have fleshed that out a little bit more. You know, I'm curious to see if, you know, like Jenkins bumps up Jay Crowder or Kyle to play some minutes at the four as well, you know, just to get some more size on the court. But he seems to prefer going small.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, clearly from what we've seen in the preseason, that makes sense for Taylor Jenkins. And we still just – we don't know what Taylor Jenkins is going to do. As much as – we've talked about in the preseason about players and what we expected of them. We really haven't talked much about Taylor Jenkins and his staff, who are all brand new to this team as well. And so a lot of new things happening for this Grizzlies team. Obviously, as we mentioned before, they're going to be on the court Wednesday night, opening regular season opener away against the Heat. Amari, I appreciate you joining me. Again, if you've not already gone and subscribed to The Athletic, make sure you go and do so. You can follow Amari on Twitter. Amari, what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, first last name, at OmariSanKofa.
Super easy. Makes it easy for everybody. Make sure you go follow Amari on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, whatever podcast platform you choose, so you don't miss an episode every single day. Amari, I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, we'll do this again soon. Have a good one.